Why don't you stay in Philippians. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 4. At the start of the new year, Maddie and I were talking a little bit last night and just sort of had a few moments to sort of talk about some things we maybe would want to see or, I don't know if you want to call them changes, I guess they're changes, but different things we would like to see happen in our home in 2022, which was really good to have that conversation. But I will be honest, at the end of it, you can get to the end of these conversations and you just see, if you're honest with yourself, you see your lack, especially when it's truly things that matter in a spiritual sense. It's good to set these priorities, but ultimately, at least with us, we know that the really meaningful changes, we really need the Lord to bring them about. We need Him to change us, and we need Him to work in our children and to work in our home and these different things, because you go over the years and you see yourself try and fail in different things, and the Lord allows that, a little bit like what Andrew was talking about, to cause us to see our need on Him. So we had this conversation, and we had some good prayer afterwards, but that was sort of a bit of a feeling in my heart. It's like, man, Lord, we need you. We need your help to see these things happen. But then this morning I was reading some scriptures that are along the same lines, but I would say it's just some encouragement that I received on God's willingness and ability to make it happen, to give us what we need each and every day for what the day holds. So the first verse was in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses here about how the Philippians gave, but the key verse is the last one. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And that last verse just really spoke to my heart this morning, because in this verse, Paul is... The context is meeting their financial needs. Paul is once again, as he does elsewhere, talking about the principle of being generous and giving and how God responds to that with always being willing to meet our needs. But I think it goes much deeper than that. I think that this promise that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus is speaking to both financial needs and even the more important spiritual needs, that the grace we need for each day, the grace that I desire to see these changes in my life, to see these changes that Maddie and I talked about in our home, our Heavenly Father is promising that in the riches of Christ Jesus, He will supply all of those needs. And I just sort of looked at that and thought about 2022, and I was like, you know what? If I can just come back to that verse, if I can just come back to that promise, when I feel my lack, when I see my insufficiency, when I see a need, it's just a wonderful promise to have as an anchor to be reminded of. And I'd like, in the context, I think it's also important that as we give of ourselves, because it talks about that elsewhere in some of the verses I was reading in regards to this. I'm not going to turn there, right? But I think most of us are familiar with the verse in Proverbs about he who waters will himself be watered. And in this context, the Philippians were the one church that had felt that prompting to give towards Paul's material needs, so that Paul had the food and clothing and had something to sustain him when he was out there ministering to other cities and other churches. And as they gave of themselves, Paul was very prompted by the Holy Spirit to remind them that ultimately, the little bit we give of ourselves, God gives back so more and is able to meet all our needs according to his unquenchable riches and all that he has. So I just think for myself, as I look at that and just look at the ways that the Lord may ask me to give of myself in this year and the ways that I need to serve in this body, serve in my home, It's just a wonderful promise to be reminded of, that God will supply all our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. But then I also started thinking a little bit about what is the key need, and I already mentioned it a little bit, and it touches, this is where it kind of ties into what Andrew shared. The key need that I know is just relevant for every single day of my life is the need for God's grace. I need God's grace to walk in a way that is pleasing to him, to walk in a way that is a blessing to my family, a blessing in his this body. And so this promise that all of his riches are available to us in Christ Jesus, that I think there is a bit of a condition there. It's not written in here, but especially as we read about or think about the context of grace, there is one condition that is made very clear in the New Testament of receiving grace, of tapping into those riches that are there. And I just want to read it, and I think it'll be familiar to most, but I think it's good to remind ourselves of this. So if we turn to James chapter 4, in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says that he gives a greater grace. And I was thinking about that just in the context of what Maddie and I talked about last night. I was like, man, I need a greater grace. I see it. I see the way the Lord's helped me so far, but I need a greater grace because there's more that I want to see the Lord do in my life. There's more I want to see the Lord do in our home. And I need a greater grace. I need more of the Holy Spirit's power to help me overcome, to change me, to bring change in our home. And it says then, therefore it says, in the promise of him giving a greater grace, it says, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So the secret to getting this grace is that we have a spirit of humility, that we have a heart that knows our need of his grace, that we have a heart that is actually ready to take, as Naaman did, made the good decision to finally turn from what his expectations were and what he expected, what he thought he deserved, because Naaman thought he deserved something. Naaman thought, because of all of my pride and all of my position and all I've done, I deserve something. I deserve to have the prophet come out here and make a bit of a show of his healing me so that this can be really good. God will get glory, but also I'll get my due respect. As the leader of the armies, I'm going to get my due respect here. So kind of a win-win situation. Well, God isn't interested in a win-win situation. God is interested in us becoming nothing and him getting the glory. And so Naaman had to come to a place where he was willing to say, well, forget about what I expect of myself. I'm just going to take what has been commanded of me, do this thing of getting in this dirty river and do the dipping. And then he got the touch from God he really needed. Then he actually got what he actually needed, was the most important thing in his life as he saw it, which was to get rid of this leprosy. That's when it happened. And it's the same for us, that when we come to God in need of grace, he wants us to come in a place where we are willing to accept and let go of our expectations of what we think we deserve and actually come into a humility and a need that says, God, I need your grace. The circumstances you bring, the things you allow, the things that are going on that are humbling me, that I'm not necessarily enjoying, I accept these things because I see it as an opportunity to tap into the humility that is required to receive of your grace. I'm going to accept these tests. I'm going to accept these trials. I'm going to accept these challenges. I'm going to accept seeing shortcomings in my life, seeing things I want to see changed in my family, because I want to tap into this grace that's available. Because this is, when it talks about the riches in Christ Jesus, these are the greatest riches. I mean, our Heavenly Father has all the riches ever needed to meet all of our material needs. But even if those material needs were met, we could still be complete and utter poverty if we don't have the riches of his grace. Those are the riches that we really need. Those are the riches that are going to provide a lasting blessing in our lives and in the lives of those we love. Those are the riches that we need. And those riches are accessed through his grace. Or those riches are found in his grace and accessed through humility. So it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So I don't think this is calling us to live a life of misery. That's not what James is writing about here, but he is asking us to be willing to set our minds on turning from the things that necessarily fill us up with a joy that is from ourselves or from our surroundings or from our accomplishments, and actually come to a place where we say, you know what? Without Jesus, without his grace, I am miserable. I could have all the riches this world has to offer, but if I don't have his grace, I'm in poverty. I'm in poverty. I can have all the fun and excitement and everything that this world offers, but if I don't have his grace, then I have no joy at all. And so if I see a lack of grace in my life, if I see a lack of grace in my life, I'm going to mourn. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to say, God, change me. Help me. Give me your grace, because everything else without this is worthless. Everything else without his grace, without those riches, is worthless. And that's what it's talking about when we humble ourselves in his presence. That's what it's talking about when it says, humble yourselves in the presence of God. It's to say, God, everything else is worthless if I don't have your grace in my life. You give me lots of things to enjoy. You give me lots of things that I can have enjoyment in, satisfaction in, pleasure in, different things. But ultimately, if it comes at a lack of grace, then I don't want them. I want your grace. Everything else can be added on top of that. But the core is to humble ourselves and say, Father, I need your grace. I need your grace each and every day. And those are the riches that I want. When you say you're going to supply all of my needs through the riches of your glory, this is the need that I want first and foremost. And if we have that, then I can say that all these other things will be added unto you. But we need to have that humility that sees our need, that is willing to say, Father, I need your grace, and I need your grace in this area as you expose it. Like Andrew said, sometimes we're blind to our pride. Sometimes we're blind to our pride, but if our Heavenly Father exposes an area where we are coming up short, where we see a need, then we should give thanks for that, because it allows us to enter into this place of having a humility and saying, Father, you've shown me this, now give me your grace, please. Help me, change me, pour your grace out in this area of my life that I can be changed, because I know the promise is there that you will meet every need, that every need will be met, that there'll never be a shortcoming in your grace. But I need to have humility, and I also need to have faith, which I'm not going to share about right now, but that is the other piece of this. We need to have faith. We need to believe. We need to know that when he is working in our lives, when things are coming in our lives and seeing areas where we need his grace, the other thing that needs to be mixed with that is faith that says, Father, I know you will provide. I know you're allowing these things for my good, and I know you want to change me. And therefore, I can accept this and know that you're going to bring something good out of this. That there's an opportunity for me to embrace some humility and find your grace through difficult situations, through things that try us and challenge us. And if we feel that we're beyond ourselves, if we feel that things are beyond our ability to deal with, then all the more we can say, by faith, I'm going to believe that this is an opportunity for God's grace to be poured out in my life and to help. So I think that's it. That's just the verses I wanted to share, and I do think it ties in well with what Andrew talked about, because the way to be blocked from this humility, the way to be blocked from this grace is through our pride. And one thing that's interesting when it talks about this, that it says resist the devil as a key aspect of entering into this grace. And what is the devil maybe trying to make us do? Because Peter says the same thing. James said it, and Peter said it. Resist the devil. Well, one of those ways we may need to resist him is in the ways he may be trying us, he may be testing us through difficult circumstances, but he also maybe need to be, what did the devil try and do to Jesus? Lots of those were about, hey, throw yourself down from the temple. What was that about? That was about pride. Jesus had to resist the devil in the way the devil was trying to tempt him to get glory for himself. So when we see this resist the devil, it may be in difficult circumstances, but we also need to know it may be in areas the enemy is trying to cause us to take pride in our own achievements, to take pride in our own lives, to take pride in the things that God has given us, to take pride in anything in our lives that we can be exalted in. There may be a need, just like Andrew said, because it was interesting when Andrew said that phrase, fight against pride. I was kind of thinking, well, that's an interesting phrase, and I wasn't bothered by it, but it was just something I hadn't necessarily thought about. But there it is right there, resist the devil. That is fighting against pride, just as it said, just as we see in the testimony of Jesus Christ, when he was tempted by the devil, he fought against the devil, he resisted, he brought scripture, and he sought only his Father's glory. He didn't seek any glory for himself. And I just think that these things can go hand in hand. Resist the devil, allow ourselves to embrace humility, that we can access the grace we need each and every day.